Blog Talk Radio.
You have to go to the bathroom. It's time for the show. Yes? What is it? I don't know what you have.
Yeah, Kaiser sends me this news briefing.
Yeah.
And there's an article I want to read on it. Just one.
Right.
And whatever I press,
yeah. Well, I don't know what to tell you. Something's going somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm going to try to call her.
Hello, this is Ming.
Hello, Ming. This is Stuart from the Adrian Berg Radio Show.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning. We were waiting for you to call in.
Oh, I thought I was going to be called.
Ah, well, okay. So I'm glad I did call you. So that's all right. We can work it this way. And hold on, I'll get Adrian on the line, and you can talk with her, and then we'll start recording. So hang on.
Okay.
Okay.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, good. Thank you for setting up this together.
Yeah, it's going to be very good. Now, let me tell you, we go for about 40 minutes. We have four segments, okay? Each one is about 9 minutes long, and I ask you a lot of questions, none of which you will have any trouble answering. I know that. And then what happens is there's music, and then we finish the segment. I know when that music is happening, but you don't. So you may hear me speak for a while, okay, so that you don't get cut off.
Okay.
All right. The other is I read your background. Now, you should know, you probably don't know me, but I know a lot about this particular topic. So the questions I'll ask you will be good ones that you'll enjoy answering. I also hope that people will use you. So I have no problem letting them know where to find you. Now, is there a website that you would like to give out?
Yes, it's orchardinfo.com.
Okay, very easy. And so I know the background. Now, you should know that I'm working with the United Nations Communications Committee on Aging, and we're doing a piece. Our first newsletter topic is going to be the digital divide. And I'm right now using some information on what does that mean as a definition and so on. So I'm kind of into this, and I'll be asking you questions that relate to your statistics, why it's so difficult. But I do want to get into the bones of how you help people to do this. All right? So I think and how a coach really, really works. Is Ming Yang the way you say your name? I just want to make sure I'm pronouncing it right. Okay, now, at the beginning of every show, I ask every guest one question, which is this. I'm going to ask you now. If there's one thing, you're not on the show yet, that you want to make sure you get out, that you'll really be disappointed when the show is over and you say, oh, I should have said that. What is it? And then I'm going to make sure I ask you the question so you get it out.
I think in a lot of the interviews that I've had, I think But the thing that I wish people were focused more on, that I could have more chance to talk about, is how surprisingly simple it is, and how useful it is, effective it is to get the technology coaching. That I think some people, a lot of people might think that it's really hard, it's not for them, that technology and them have never worked together in the past, but that's what we do. We are there to kind of bust that myth and to help people gain the skills that they've always wanted and learn the things that they've always wanted to learn. So I think asking about, so is it difficult? And kind of saying that, let's say I'm someone that I never really used technology. Is this for me? And I would say yes.
Very good. Okay, I'm ready to rock and roll. You'll hear some music. You'll hear me introduce the show and yourself. And then we'll get started. Okay?
Perfect.
Okay. Ready?
Yes.
Now we'll be quiet for a few seconds.
When I look in the mirror, I don't see wrinkles. When I look in the mirror, I see hair on my head, not my shoulder.
And hello, hello, hello. This is Adrienne Berg, and this is Generation Bold, the Fountain of Truth, the Fountain of Truth about aging. And we are going to be revisiting a topic today that I've written about for years and had the pleasure of speaking in front of the World Future Society about when we talked about the future of aging. And also, some of you, most of you, are lifelong learners, and you know of a group called OLLI. That's associated with about 114 different universities, and it provides older adult education. And they wanted me to speak a couple of years ago at their annual conference about what they called the digital divide, the division between people who are a little bit older that understand technology and those that don't, the division between people that have access to technology and those that don't. And so I thought, you know what? This topic is over. Everybody knows how to use everything now, particularly because of COVID. Well, it's not. And I got a really rude awakening, which is why today I am so delighted to have Ming Yang, who is a coach. She's a coach for folks who do not feel that their digital literacy or their computer literacy is top-notch. And she tells me, you know, it's pretty easy. Seniors do desire to use more technology. They may not know how, but they could. And she has created a survey called Orchard Senior Tech Survey, and some really revealing things have come out of it. And she did found Orchard Info so that people could get coached on technology. So let me go and speak with you, Ming, about this. During our little pre-talk, I mentioned that the United Nations, a group that I work with on aging, within the UN, has identified the issue of technology as being one of the most important areas for successful aging. And that's just now. So it's been a while since people have understood that technology is important in their life. COVID brought it up more. And yet, we have so many folks who are frustrated by technology. Now, you did a survey on this. So tell us what some of the folks that you surveyed said about their use of technology as they grew a little bit older.
Yeah, so the 45, so most people that have taken the survey, 56% of them actually picked our survey technology tech coach as a number one wish list on their item besides a book or a slippers. And that, sorry, Adrian, would you mind if could we start this over again?
Sure. We're going to start over again because, no, it's just a matter of collecting thoughts. That's all.
Oh, okay.
It's not a problem.
No, would you be able to give me the questions in advance? Because while I know some of the statistics from the back of my mind, there were a lot of data points that we gathered from our survey, and I couldn't just pull them from the top of my head, like the 62%, the 54%, just from the top of my head. So if you could give me a rough idea on that, those type of questions,
okay.
It will help me
okay.
prepare a lot, kind of pull up those pages.
Okay, first of all, you don't have to do that. I have the statistics that I care about right in front of me. Don't worry about it. So I'm going to do it in a little bit of a different way. And my question to you is, I'm going to start with something that you're very familiar with, which is why did you start Orchard in the first place? Okay? That's going to be
sure.
your first question. Okay, we're ready to go. Not a problem. Now we have to just be quiet for a few seconds.
When I look in the mirror, I don't see wrinkles. When I look in the mirror, I see hair on my head, not my shoulder.
And hello, hello, hello. This is Adrienne Berg, and this is Generation Bold, the Fountain of Truth. The Fountain of Truth about what? Well, the Fountain of Truth about aging. And today we're going to revisit a topic that I honestly thought, I don't know, it was kind of old hat just a while ago, and I really was wrong. And that is the topic which we might want to call the digital divide. Folks who do not feel that they are computer literate, folks that would love to use digital health devices and they're kind of left out in the cold, and most importantly, since COVID, folks who would like to see their kids on some kind of technical device, whether it's FaceTime or whatever, a WhatsApp, and they really feel frustrated by it. And I had an opportunity years ago, not recently, I must say, to talk to the World Future Society on Aging and Age Tech, and to talk to OLLI, which is a group that brings activities and learning to older adults through 114 different universities. And they were concerned about lifelong learning being delivered through the computer and technology online classes. And boy, we thought, it's going to be no problem here. Everybody's going to take a class, they're going to get into it, and most importantly, the tech makers and developers were going to develop just for us because they know what a big market we were. Well, as they say in Brooklyn, where I was born, forget about it. And the fact is that we still have that digital issue with our literacy when it comes to the computer. But we do have coaches who can help us. And so today I have Ming Yang with me, and she is the founder of Orchard Info, and she's actually a tech coach for seniors who are committed to make sure that they are now living in the 21st century. So, Ming, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
Well, let's start with at the beginning. Why did you start this? I mean, your background is certainly in digital and computers, and you could have been done anything. But of everything you selected, it was to help train older adults to understand and be able to use technology. How did that all begin?
Yeah, I went to school originally for computer engineering, and I thought that my goal was always to work at a big tech company such as Microsoft and Apple,
mm-hmm.
which I was interning there, and that was going to be my plan. But then I was running into a lot of trouble helping my mom and my grandma use technology. And being their caregiver since a young age, I now have to help them and take care of them remotely since I was in college. And I realized that if I were to help them remotely, they have to know how to use technology to help me help them remotely. But because they didn't know how to use the technology, nothing worked. I could not do anything. And so my struggle to teach them how to use the technology, as well as trying to do that from afar, had just so many barriers with the emotional kind of frustration that goes along with being mother-daughter, the difficulties of helping them from afar, and sometimes not having the patience that I would have for someone else. All of that played into not a lot of success in helping her myself. And which ended up my cousin had to be the one that helped her. And so I started looking around at what are the different resources and different ways that I could help her. And there's got to be a high school student or another college student near her that could help her that isn't me, that isn't emotionally tied to her success. So they could be more calm and patient when helping her. And I didn't find anybody. The best thing that I could find was Geek Squad, but I'm sure she's
right.
not going to feel comfortable having a technician from Geek Squad to, quote unquote, explain anything to her. And so that's why I just thought that I'll just do this myself. This is such a big problem. And we have so many people in the world that are aging and are being left behind with the digital divide. And that's how I started Orchard myself.
Well, I think this is brilliant, and I think anybody listening probably has had the experience of trying to teach an older adult that they love something about the computer, and what happens is they get frustrated, the older adult gets frustrated, then they have a fight, and then it's all over, and it goes under the table, and nothing is ever learned. And I think that this is something that we're all probably chuckling about right now because we've lived through it, and I have to tell you, when I was speaking with Ali, I was talking about reverse mentoring, which is kind of a fancy term for younger people teaching older people things instead of the other way around. And it isn't easy for an older person to accept the fact that they don't know something, but we really don't. Now, I want to tell everybody a few statistics that impressed me. Ming Yang, as the founder of Orchard Info, did a survey, and her survey revealed some really fascinating things, and I'm going to throw it back to you, Ming. One of her surveys showed that of all the gifts older adults would like, 56% of them really wanted a tech coach. And that was higher than some other things you might think, like a great book and so on. So that was interesting. People want to learn. That's important. But they also said that more even than being stuck in traffic, let's say, they were frustrated by the fact they could not use the computer the way they want to. So let me throw this to you, Ming. You've got people from your survey obviously wanting to learn. You also have them frustrated by trying to learn and frustrated by their inability to learn. How do you break through? I mean, what is the premise that you came up with to open the door to learning when you were developing this protocol for ORCID?
I think the one of the biggest thing that I've noticed through working with hundreds and hundreds of older adults, as well as getting some of these insights from the survey, was that for years, older adults have been asking for help. They've been wanting to learn, wanting to progress, wanting to be better. And I think the problem is that no one's listening. No one is actually saying, hey, I hear you, and let me help you. I'm going to help you. What do you want to do? What would you like to accomplish and achieve? And I think that's what we're finding here, that they're frustrated. They're more frustrated by technology than being stuck in traffic or going to the dentist or waiting in line at the DMV. And the number one thing that they want more than tangible materialistic things is confidence, a sense of respect, sense of confidence by people that could help them, that they feel that they are being taken care of and they are being heard. And that's what we strive to do, that for us, it's not just about teaching technology. It's about restoring that sense of confidence, giving them the tools to do the things that they've always wanted to do and let them know that whatever they want to do, we are here to help. It's kind of funny that we just so happen to have this survey question about kind of the number one gift on our survey,
yes.
But we actually have someone that was so excited about our service that when she signed up, she was so ecstatic that she said, oh my God, I've been looking for this my whole life. I
mm-hmm.
want this for my birthday. She literally tells us, I want this for my birthday. I'm going to tell all my friends and family that I don't want anything else. I want money to buy, pay for your membership because this is what I want. And what ended up happening is, coincidentally, one of her family members is also one of our customers and people that we help. And so he actually gifted her our membership for her birthday. So that was kind of a small world turnaround.
A big win-win. And when we come back, we're going to talk about another kind of win-win. What are the points that are the most important for you if you are feeling like you are not so literate when it comes to the computer to think about? So this is real a practical application of what Ming Yang does. Don't you go anywhere. You will really, really be able to bust out of your old ways in being frustrated by the computer. We'll be right back.
You may think that I'm full of it, but that doesn't bother me not even a bit, because I am happy and I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age.
Okay, so we're off now again. We're going to go into the second segment. Now you see how we do it, right? So now it's great. Very, very comfortable. Okay, so what I want to come back with is two things for this segment. I want to ask you if you see a difference in your business because of COVID. In other words, if people are waking up more for the need.
Mm-hmm.
And the other is what I promised, which is, what are the main things that you teach them? By the way, my question, do you teach them online? Is everybody learning online, or how is the what's the process?
It's both online and in person. So we kept operations in Central Florida for in-person coaching, and then most of everyone else throughout the United States, we're helping them online.
Online. All right. Very, very good. And you'll be able to say the two or three main things that they learn, or the two or three things that you've discovered is the hardest to learn or a barrier. That's really what I'm getting at. Okay.
Sure. Yes.
Great. So we're ready. We're ready. So we're going to second segment.
You may think that I'm full of it, but that doesn't bother me not even a bit, because I am happy and I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age. Da, 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 da.
And hello, hello, hello once again, and this is Adrienne Berg, and this is Generation Bold, the Fountain of Truth, the Fountain of Truth about aging. So a little bit of family business here. First of all, we are having our next webcast, and that is February 26th at 11 a.m. Eastern Time. And this is about exercise. Now, we have two really famous doctors speaking to us. Yes, doctors. One is a geroscientist, Dr. Thomas Rando, and he's really going to be telling you why exercise is so important, what it does for your mitochondria, which is the sheaths of your cells. So maybe it'll be extra motivation for you if you really understand what exercise works for you and why it works. But we're also going to have Dr. Daniel Lieberman, who you may know because he's a famous author, just recently coming out with another one of his books, but this one's called Exercised. And Exercised is actually an anthropological journey around exercise. He is an anthropologist, one of our leading national anthropologists, and he talks about and teaches you why it's so hard for us to exercise. Something that we should do is really, really difficult. Well, we're not built that way, to exercise the way we are exercising today. And that also could create a breakthrough for you. Now, speaking of breakthroughs, Ming Yang is with us. Now, she is really an agent of breakthrough. And that breakthrough is in the field of digital competency, being able to use the computer, not being tech-phobic, and having older adults learn how to use technology in a brand new way that really works for them. And those breakthroughs have become very important. She's founded Orchard Info, which helps people learn through coaching. And this has become particularly important, Ming, during this COVID situation. So let's start with that and relate it for a moment. Have you seen changes in your business, in the way people are thinking about older technology and age tech because of COVID?
Absolutely. Huge change. I think before COVID, people didn't want to try virtual help. That when you bring that up, it's like, of course not. Why would I ever want to do that? If I was not comfortable using the computer in the first place, why would I want to receive coaching and support from someone online? But since COVID, people have really shifted their perspective, and because everyone is desperate, we need help, and there's nowhere to get help. So people are a lot more receptive toward getting online coaching, and they're always surprised by how easy and simple it is, that we can see their screen. We just share screen with each other, and we can see exactly what they're looking at, just like we were there in person. And a lot of people actually now prefer to do online coaching because it's easier for them. They don't have to go anywhere. They don't have to invite a person into their home, and they can just do it for a cheaper rate as well, just on their computer.
Yeah, you know, digital health is a big thing. I want to mention that to everybody. You may or may not know that Medicare now covers virtual visits. Now, that never happened before. And now there are virtual visits. Every one of my doctors and dentists give you a virtual visit. I had a virtual visit with my eye doctor in New Jersey. I moved to California. So we're thinking very differently because of COVID. And we also obviously want to see our grandkids. And many of us who are living next door, just around the corner for our grandchildren because of COVID, couldn't see them. We were in the same boat as many people who live across country or across the world. So COVID made a big difference. Now let's go back, Ming. You used an interesting word. You said, oh, you know, it's easy. Honestly, it doesn't sound easy. But yet, you've made it easy. What do you think are the one or two things that make it easier to learn when you have a coach that isn't a family member and through your Orchard Protocol? What makes it easy? Because I have heard that people feel that your work is facilitates in a different way than they expected.
Yeah, so the main number one, all of our coaches they're hired by their personality as well as their skills. So there are people that could be coming from engineering background, could also be coming from counseling background, education background, but they all have a passion of working with older adults. So they're not just anyone, just like how they say you cannot choose your family. Your family might not be someone that has the utmost patience or the calmness to walk through things step by step with you. Whereas for us, our entire fleet of tech coaches are people that are exactly like that. They have that mentality. They have that personality. And on top of that, we also provide them with in-house training that teach them how to project empathy, how to use active listening, all of these techniques that are used in therapy and counseling to help with older adults, because we understand how much stress there is involved in learning a new piece of technology. So that level of training, as well as separation from having that emotional connection with the older adults, really makes it a unique experience. It really feels like you're understood when you walk into a session or join a session with one of the tech coaches.
Now, the other thing, too, is devices. You know, we have the computer. That's where we started. And most people want to use email and browse they want to they shop even, and of course use the WhatsApp or Facebook, FaceTime, and all that. But you can also do that on your phone, and you can also do that, and there's also digital issues and computer issues and other devices now for the smart home. What are you finding people want to do the most, use the computer directly or the phone? What's trending right now?
I would say, I think, it used to be phone because everyone's mobile, everyone wants to be on the go. But now with COVID, a lot of people are actually returning back to their computer and they're picking up projects that they've been putting off. They are continuing their job online. Like they've transitioned their employment to a remote work setting. And people are looking to organize their information, their files on their computer a lot more than they have in the past. Whereas in the past, all the junk we just kind of leave in the computer and we have a hard time finding them all the time. But now that we're at home, people are really focusing on, okay, how do I declutter my computer? How do I organize my file? And these are the kind of things that we can't really, it's difficult. There's no set way of doing it, but we set up examples of these are some of the ways that are most efficient for us, and this is how you can do it. So that's some of the most popular things that people love to do and love to learn. In addition to that, always security, privacy, managing passwords, managing the documents, but a lot of things that I think a younger generation take for granted, that we're able to pretty much organize our entire life with our digital devices. But older adults are not able to do that, but they're now realizing that they can do this as well. And so they're getting on a path where they're starting to organize their kind of their entire world the way that younger folks are doing it.
Now, when we come back, we're going to talk about something that Ming Yang has alluded to several times, and that is that older adults are using digital literacy for their work. We are still working, and we really have no right to ask to be hired for jobs that we can't handle because of the digital aspect of it. We'll be back in a moment to kind of spruce you up. If you feel that you want to continue to work or you're looking for work and you're a little bit older, what does one say about their digital literacy? Don't you go anywhere.
You may think that I'm full of it, but that doesn't bother me, not even a bit, because I am happy, and I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age. Da 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 da. Da 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 da.
Okay, so we're off now. So now I'm kind of asking you, who comes to you? A lot of the tasks that you mentioned are very important for work. So are a lot of the people there because they're grandma, grandpa, they want to see the kids and be smart about things and play games and all that? Or are they really older adults like me, I'm 73, that work full time and need to know these things? Who's coming to you, and have you seen a shift? We're not on the air now, I'm just asking you.
Yeah, right now it's about half and half of the former and the latter. It used to be all just people that are looking to see grandkids, fixing a computer here and there. But now we're seeing more and more people looking to transition their work remotely or even start a new career online, start a new project online. So there, like you said, people that are, whether they need to or not, they're deciding that because of COVID, things have changed, and the world is going to stay this way for a while, that they want to start that Facebook account, to start that online business, to start being an online counselor.
Great. So I'm ready, and you'll answer something more or less like that, because that was perfect. Okay, we're going to start again.
You may think that I'm full of it, that doesn't bother me, not even a bit, because I am happy, and I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age. Da, 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 da.
And hello, hello, hello. Once again, this is Adrienne Berg, and this is Generation Bold, the Fountain of Truth. More housekeeping. Now, you know that we have a newsletter. That newsletter comes to you every single Monday. It is always free. It's a labor of love. What will you find in there? Well, you will be able to get direct access to our latest podcast. You'll get direct access to any articles that I've written that week or that's in our blog. Most importantly, I think, you get a direct access to our webcasts, which are just brilliant. They come from the Catalyst Institute. I'm the executive director of that. That's for the prevention and delay of age-related diseases and to create a national policy for increased health span. That means not just longer years, but years with less morbidities. You know the word, you know what that means now because of COVID. In other words, you're not only living longer, but you're living healthier during those years. And we have some really impressive podcasts. We did one on biomarkers very recently, and now February 26th, the next one is on exercise. So you get free access to that, our conferences, and I always pick a few interesting things from my emails that I get, because we get this 360-degree view of what's going on in the field of aging. So I want to reintroduce you to Ming Yang. She is the founder of Orchard Info, and it's a coaching for folks who are interested in increasing their digital literacy, understanding how to use all the possibilities of a smartphone, of their computer, of their tablet, being able to work online efficiently, and being able to play online efficiently. So before we go anywhere, Ming, just tell everybody where to find your company, what the URL is, and what's the best way to look you up.
Our website is orchardinfo.com, and we can be reached by phone number, email. You can call us at 1-833-571-1005. And we can give you a tailored plan for what we offer that will be most helpful for anything that you're running into or any troubles that you're experiencing. Or you can find more information on orchardinfo.com.
Very easy. So it's the name of the company, orchardinfo.com. Now, one of the things that Ming and I were talking about during our little break was why people are coming to her. And I want to, with that 360-degree view that we have, perspective, tell you a legal issue. And if you would like, you can read a blog on this, which is on our website, adrianberg.com, where you also sign up for our newsletter. Go to adrianberg.com and sign up for the free newsletter. We have one of the articles on our blog is about the SECURE Act. Now, this is interesting, Ming. There was a bipartisan Act that was passed that allows older adults to take their money out of their IRAs later in life if they're still working. And it used to be that you had to take the money out when you were 70 and a half, even if you, and pay taxes, even if you were still working. Well, the government, and it's bipartisan, came to the conclusion that we're working so late in life and we're able to work for so many years more that we should not have to retire. We shouldn't have to take our retirement funds out and pay taxes on it. And they also said that because so many older adults are entrepreneurs and are starting businesses later in life, they could get together, and even if they were unrelated businesses, they could form their own IRAs together and put money in way later in life. So I throw this down to you. Obviously, older adults are working longer, and they can. But boy, do they need to be literate when it comes to the computer and all those skills. So how do your clients play out? I mean, are they grandparents that want to see their kids more digitally, or are they the folks you mentioned who want digital health, they want in on that, or are they worker bees that really need to find out about this, or they won't get the job? I mean, who's coming to you these days?
Yeah, so it used to be the grandparents that are looking to see their grandkids. And I think for a long time, a lot of people put off learning, gaining that digital skills because they think it's hard, even though they understand it's needed for a new career, for a new project. And with COVID, a lot of that has shifted. People are starting to understand that it's now or never. And so we're starting to see a lot more people that are worker bees that are looking to either transition their current job to a remote setting, continue their job and not get fired that way, or start a new project, start writing a book, a screenplay, completing a manuscript, and some even starting an online business, completing their websites. We have so many people coming to us saying that I've been put off my website, my personal website, for so long now, and I need to get it back up together because I'm applying for certain jobs, or I'm going to be publishing a book in the next couple of months, and I need to have that together. And so I think it's actually pushing people to understand how there's so much more opportunities online and that they can take advantage of all of that if we only unlock the technology aspect.
Now, you know, I'm curious about this. I know that you make it's almost like a diet. You make a different plan for each person. Like, we call today precision medicine. So this is kind of like precision coaching for what they need. But I'm curious, on average, how many lessons do people take, and how long are these lessons, by the way?
The lessons are an average 45 minutes to an hour, because we just find that is the most effective in terms of learning. Generally, classes in school, whether in a secondary school or higher education, they're about 45 minutes to an hour for that reason as well. And generally, people take a lesson or have a session with us about every other week. So every other week, they will come together with a list of questions, things that they've tried, troubles that they've run into, and then we go over those things during the session, and then they have that to take home as kind of homework to practice, to keep on learning, keep on doing, and then we meet again the week after that. So it's not every week for some people, and it gives people time to breathe, and it gives them time to do other things in their lives, but consistent enough that it kind of gives that accountability, which is what is really needed, because we always imagine what we do as kind of like a gym membership. Like, you know that it's what you're supposed to do. You should go and exercise, but it's something that you put off, but it's stressful, and that's what we are here for.
You know, it's so interesting because the psychology of this is really a big part of it. There's one thing I am pretty angry about, though, and that is that the tech developers, and you, as you said, that's your original background. You could have been a tech developer. They're not making anything for the older adult. They are presuming that the people who are using the devices or the new technologies grew up with technology, so they don't have any need to backpedal. And even when it comes to eyesight or the speed, I'm seeing very little. The only place that you see this, and we do have it, I'm involved with many companies myself, like CU-Link, that helps the older adult use computers. But these are for people with low vision or even mild dementia. And so they're developed in a very special way. There's very little being developed for the, I'll say, the normal older adult who just simply didn't grow up with it. Now, are you seeing anything in terms of that, of design? When we come back, we're going to talk about that, because I've been pretty angry about it. And I will say that all of you ought to be taking a look at a book called The Longevity Economy, written by the director of MIT's Age Lab, that came up with remarkable things like the driverless car. And that book complains that nothing is really being developed digitally for us. So we will talk about that with expert Ming Yang when we come back. And take a look, if you're interested in your coaching, take a look at orchardinfo.com. You'll get all the information you need. Don't you go anywhere.
You may think that I'm full of it, but that doesn't bother me, not even a bit, because I am happy. And I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age. Da 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 da. Da 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 da.
Okay, so this is our last segment, and I am going to ask you about your opinion of you know, what's being designed. Is that all right? That's just an opinion question.
Yes, absolutely.
And the other is, I will ask you, what is the hardest? I'll mention again that you say it's easy. And you'll be able to address that too. But I am curious myself as to what your students feel is the hardest thing for them, you know, to master. Is there anything else that you'd like to cover?
Hardest thing to master in terms of when they're working with us, or just in general that we've
in general,
kind
you
of
know,
heard from them?
Yeah, what you heard from them, what's stumping them. And is there anything, and by the way, we have time, is there anything else that you'd like to cover? Because we can do that instead.
I think I would love to talk more about the design aspect because I have a lot of thoughts and a lot of goals I want to that I want to incorporate into Orchard as well. In terms of the hardest, man, it varies person by person, and I think that's probably one of the biggest challenges for us as well as for what we're trying to do. That like you said, that precision medicine, that personalization is so crucial. I think the biggest problem is probably actually the fact that everyone experience and learn very differently. So while one person in a, let's say in a group class says that, wow, I found so much value in this class, most everybody else says, I didn't really get it. That didn't really work for me. I need someone
right.
that works with me one-on-one that really understands me. I think that is probably the biggest thing, having that personalization. And some people prefer groups, some people prefer one-on-one, some people prefer step-by-step, some people prefer examples.
Great. So we will be definitely talking about that. We'll do both. And we have time for both. It's great. All right, go ahead, Stu. We're ready. Now we just be quiet for a few seconds.
You may think that I'm full of it, but that doesn't bother me, not even a bit, because I am happy, and I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age. Da-da-da-da.
And hello, 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 and we are at our last segment of this terrific show. And I always feel sad about that, but the happy part is we'll be doing it again next week. Now, if you want to catch up on past shows that you missed, it's very easy. You just go to my website, Adrianeberg, ADRIANEBERG.com, and we have those posted for you. With regard to what we're going to be doing next week, we always post for an entire week, and there'll be no problem with that, and then we archive it. So if you've heard a particular show or something that you want to hear about that they've your friends have said, you know, did you miss that show on housing? Did you miss that show on the new laws? Well, it is posted up there, adrianeberg.com. Now, today we're speaking about this digital divide that is still with us. We really haven't mastered what we might say the 21st century way of communicating. Every adult must be committed to understanding and knowing about their computer and what they're doing for their work, for their kids, for their family, and for their fun. So we do have with us today Ming Yang, who is the founder of Orchard Info. You'll find all the information on orchardinfo.com. But when we finished our last segment, I was kind of complaining, I must say, about the fact that technology, stop this, Ming, because we're hearing a noise that's just disturbing me, and I have to.
Sure.
We're just going to stop from the beginning, just as you did, and I'm afraid that the noise will get into our show. I don't know if you heard it. It was a buzzing noise. You may not have been able to hear it.
I've heard a little bit, but I'm sure it was more prominent on your side.
Yeah, it was very prominent on my side. I wasn't able to concentrate.
You may think that I'm full of it, but that doesn't bother me, not even a bit, because I am happy, and I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age. Da-da-da-da.
And hello, 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 this is Adrian Berg, and this is Generation Bold, the Fountain of Truth. Unaccountably, we are on our last segment of this show. But don't you worry, because if you go to adrianeberg.com, ADRIANEBERG.com, not only can you sign up for our free newsletter, which comes every week, and get all the information on our webcasts and our blogs and some very important information that I don't have time to tell you on the air goes into our newsletters every week. But you can also hear all the past podcasts. We archive them. We put them up for a week on our homepage, as we'll do this one with Ming Yang, who is the founder of Orchard Info, a coaching system for folks who really want to become computer literate. And that'll be on for a week, but then it'll be archived. And you can listen to any of the prior shows, adrianberg.com. So, Ming, let's go back. When I was finishing the last segment, I was actually complaining, logic and complaint, that they're not making technology for us. And there's a lot of us. There's 78 million baby boomers who are aging, and we did not grow up with technology. We learn a lot. We know a lot, but not enough. So what are you seeing as somebody who's teaching technology? And has a background in really computer science, what's wrong here? Why is everything being created in such a very difficult way for the older adults who didn't grow up with all of this? And what would you like to see changed?
There are, I could talk all day about this, of kind of the origin of why these technology is not designed for older adults. But I think some of the biggest kind of aspect and features of technology these days that makes it so difficult for an older user is not just, and I'm not talking about things that are like the boldness of the words, how big is the screen. Of course, those kind of the audio and all that, those are given. We need to have those accessibility features in any device that we have. But on top of that, it's the little subtle aspects, such as number one, the valuation of exploration and having information all scattered all over the place on different pages after five button clicks instead of being on one. So a lot of times these companies will prioritize aesthetic over functionality. So they will make it really beautiful. You can click on 10 different buttons to get those 10 pieces of information. And that might be okay for someone that's, let's say, in the teen years and is half the time or have the kind of the energy to explore and spend hours and hours on their computer finding the right information. But for someone that's older, the goals shift. Our goals is to just get the information and get it done. I just want to know what's going on, how to make a decision, and be done with it. And so with that, I really just want all the information on one page, and I need this to be functional instead of being all pretty. And I think that's one of the biggest flaw that kind of modern technology fall under. And there's so many other design violations that a lot of devices and software have committed. But I don't think we have too much time to go into that. I could give like an entire hour of talking about that. But I think not thinking about our older adults, because we don't really think they're our target audience, is one of the biggest flaw. That in the design process, when we design a new interface, we always do user studies. We study in depth of the people that we think will be using the product, the software. And because we don't think that older adults is going to be the people that are using the software, we don't interview them. We don't study what works for them. And it's just this vicious cycle that keeps on rolling and rolling. And it's really time to break that cycle and make the voices of our older adults heard.
You know, if you're listening to this, what you may be missing is the enormity of what Ming Yang is saying. This is endemic to a lot of things, not just technology. Let me give you this example. We talk a lot about health equity and having the fact that everybody, minorities, diverse populations, should have access to health care. And there are studies on this, and there's studies on pills. There's clinical trials on whether a pill works. And certain groups are just left out of the trials. Now, this is exactly what Ming Yang is bringing up with regard to developing technology and designing technology. If you don't think that the population is going to use it, if you don't think somebody is a client, you're going to leave them out. Just like if you think only men do certain things, you're going to study your product and your development without looking to see if women would be using it and how they'd be using it. Well, that's just what's happening with technology here and the older adult. And the fact is we're still working. We're still here. We're not dead yet, as Monty Python wrote in one of their songs in Spamalot. We ain't dead yet, and nobody's designing for us. So you have to overcome that. Now, I want to go back to another question I had asked you before, Ming, during our break. And you answered in a very interesting way. I asked you, what are people having the most trouble with? And your answer was, no, it's not like that. It's different people have different issues. So could you explain a little bit more about that precision approach to the coaching?
Yeah, I think the actual right answer to your question of what do people have the most trouble is actually people not being able to find solutions that are tailored and personalized to them. That everyone has a different way of learning. Everyone wants to learn different things, do different things. Some people like group classes. Some people like one-on-one training. Some people like to do it step-by-step with someone. Some people like to watch a tutorial. It all depends on every single person. And it could be that in a class, a couple of people find a lot of great value and learned a lot from the class, while everyone else says, nope, I didn't learn a single thing. That was difficult, or that was too easy for me. This is not for me. And so for us, when we bring a new person on board and we learn about who they are, what they're trying to do, we create a personalized plan based on what they are looking to do, what their troubles are, what they're struggling with, what are their goals, and we suggest a plan, an action plan that's right for them, whether it's consistent coaching or one-on-one, occasional one-on-one training or a group classes, put them into group classes and a community of people. But it varies depending on the person. And I think that's one of the things that makes us so much more effective than traditional way of kind of the tech support or technology training, because those are designed for everyone. They create a curriculum and expect everyone to just follow that one single curriculum. But that's not the case for older adults. Everyone learned differently.
And one of the things I want to do is thank you for being a person who's creating these possibilities, because it isn't going away. I have actually heard, and I'm going to conclude with this, although it's kind of a Debbie Downer, I have heard marketers and product developers say, well, that generation is dying out anyway, so why should we create anything for them? It's not a market. Well, you know what? We're not going anywhere. And the fact is that the baby boomer generation is 18 years apart. So we have some folks who are baby boomers in their early 60s, we have health span increasing. We have people in their early 60s working for another 20 years, easily into their early 80s, maybe another 30 years into their early 90s. You better create product services and coaching for us. So there. And I have to thank you and honor you, Ming Yang, for deciding to take this path. And anybody who's interested, it's orchardinfo.com. And for everybody else, you know what I'm going to say. Get out there, kids, and make it happen.
I'm inappropriate for our age.
Okay, so you see how that goes? Very nice.
Yeah, thank you for that invite. Adrian, I wish there was a little bit more time at the end. I think there was something that I wanted to say with your message from the marketers, some of the product people. I think that will go really nice on the show.
What is it? Tell me. You tell me.
Well, so Yeah, so the I definitely heard that as well, that sometimes when I pitch this idea to investors, to partners, they will say, this group of people is dying anyway. In 20 years, we won't have this problem. Or, well, they don't know how to use technology, but we do, so this is not going to be a problem anywho. But the problem is actually we have found that it's not so much of the fact that these group of people didn't grow up with it. Of course, that is one aspect, but it's also that when you are in the workforce, when you work for a big company or you're self-employed, or you're working every day, you're needing to use these tools and be exposed to all these type of technology because you have to use those for your day-to-day job. And once you stop using them, you stop keeping up with all the rapid changes that's happening in the tech world. And so that means that even by the time that I retire, if I stop working for about 5 to 10 years, I'm not going to be able to keep up with all the latest changes in computers and phones, and
right.
maybe we don't even have computers and phones anymore. But I will also be in the same place as our older adults today
right.
of needing help with keeping up with technology. So this problem will persist no matter what generation we're in. So it's actually false that these people are saying that, oh, they're going to die out anyway because they are going to be this group of people, fall under this category in 30, 40 years?
Well, I'll tell you how I'm going to use that. First of all, you may feel better to know that we have spoken about that a 23-year-old will be behind the times by the time they're 30 when it comes to this.
Mm-hmm.
So it's
mm-hmm.
And they will be, as you say, once you don't know, you don't know. So it doesn't matter if you don't know when you're 23 or you don't know if you're 73. You still don't know. So you're basically the 23-year-old at 30 is in the same place as the 73 because everything passed by. So we have talked about this. But where I'm going to make this point on your behalf, and I will quote you, is I am doing this little bit for the United Nations. And I'm going to quote some of your survey, by the way, which I have here. And you'll see it. It's a newsletter that will go out. It's our actually first newsletter from the United Nations NGO on Aging. And they chose this topic as their theme topic for the first newsletter. That's how important this is. So I'll make this happen, and you'll see what it looks like. I'll send it over to you. Okay?
I'm excited.
It'll be
Thank
fun.
You so much.
Yeah, it's exciting. It's great. All right, I'm excited. Keep going. You're doing great stuff. You're in Florida? You personally are in Florida?
I'm not right now, but my family is, and I was there for until probably last year.
Oh, okay. And I'm in
California.
I'm
in Massachusetts right now.
Oh, you're in Massachusetts. Oh, is it snowing? What's going on?
Yeah.
What's happening?
Oh, it is a blizzard today.
A blizzard. Okay, very, very good. All right. Enjoy the blizzard. It's beautiful anyway. Take care.
Yeah.
Right.
You're welcome.
Right.
Thank you. Bye-bye, Adrian.
Bye.